Well, this morning we're going to continue on with something that Bruce has started over the last several weeks. We're going to start with reading of the scripture, looking at Acts 2, 20, 42 through 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, I'm going to pause here for just one second. I don't know, a lot of people have heard Bruce talk about having something going on 24/7. We're going to have a, you know, we're looking to build a prayer building out here to have 24/7 prayer. So when we're talking about every day, we mean every day, 24/7. I believe it. We're getting prepared for it. There you go. There you go. So it's going to happen. Continue on. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. Father, we thank you for your word. It's truth. It's light. It's our daily bread. So, Father, we just come before you today and give you thanks for this chance. Father, just let us receive this word into our hearts, into our spirit, Lord. We want you to have your way. Your way, Father, not ours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I want to briefly talk about the church as a community designed by God. And I'm going to be referencing the scripture from Acts throughout this morning. So I'll be bouncing back and forth. So be aware of that. And before I really get going, Bruce's last two sermons, if you weren't here, you missed something. Those were some good words. And I talked to Bruce a week or so before he started the last 2 weeks, and I said, I've got a word that I'm working on, and it's so cool how it fits with what he brought. You know, it just, our God is so cool that way. You know, and it's, you know, he just puts all things together. And, you know, when he says, yeah, I'm going to be doing this. Oh, yeah, that's what, yeah, this, that, the other thing. So we serve a cool God. You know, he just makes things all work out together. Back to what I wanted to share today. I want to talk about the power of belonging. You know, there is the Jungle Book by Rudyard Kipling taught a law of the jungle. The key principle of this law is the interdependence of the individual and the group. We're not independent folks here. We are dependent. We are interdependent upon one another. Kipling wrote, "For the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack." I hope you understand what that's saying. It says, the strength of the individual wolf is being part of the pack. And part the strength of the pack is that individual wolf. So we're a pack, yeah. Right? But we're individuals. There's strength in numbers. How many watch different nature films where, you know, out in the Serengeti, you get the wildebeest or the water buffalo. When they're together, the cheetahs and the, you know, all the hyenas and all the wild dogs, they don't mess with them when they're together, right? But when there's a straggler off to by himself, they pounce on them. So our pack is strong when we are together. You individually are strong when you're in the pack. So I think that was a critical thing that Kipling shared with that. You know, we protect one another and we offer protection to each other. strength in numbers. We were never meant to do life alone, right? You know, you can, from the beginning of time, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. End of story. We shouldn't be alone, right? Everyone has a need to belong. We were created for community. Not just any community, but one rooted in love, truth, and shared life in Christ. That's the community that I belong to here. The church isn't a building or a Sunday service. It's a spiritual family. Yeah. And I believe that the kind of family we are and ought to be a reflection of our God. We got a good God. We've got a good family. We ought to reflect His goodness in everything that we say and do. Not only Sunday when people are looking at you, or, you know, when you're sitting at home just kind of mulling things over, all the time. You know, they say that true character is developed when, you know, nobody's looking. So let God shine through you, in you, and everything will be fine. You know, how can it not be true that, you know, we're a reflection of God when He is in us? Hard not to be when He's there. Unfortunately, today, many people attend church without truly being the church. We often confuse attendance with belonging. But there is a difference. Scripture calls us to something more, something deeper, authentic Christian community. Now, we have a membership covenant that people that attend here that seek membership, we go through this covenant with them. People that don't take out membership, and we've got folks that have been here for years and years and years and never took membership, and that's okay. You're still welcome to be here, you know, be part of the body. Membership, though, kind of takes it to another level, and not only should the people that take out membership abide in the covenant, the people that just are part of this body ought to be under this covenant as well. I want to highlight a couple of things that we talk about in our covenant. It says, I will protect the unity of my church, I will share the responsibility of my church, and I will serve the ministry of my church. Finally, I will support the testimony of my church. I can go through all sorts of scriptures that are associated with each one of those, but when you take out membership, you are covenanting with the other members of this body to abide by that. Like I said, if you're not a member, you still ought to abide by those things, right? And I'm not saying that, well, you can't be part of this body if you don't. No, you're part of this body, and we'll get you there eventually. So what should the church community look like? We need to look at the early church to really get a grasp of what it should be, right? Number one, in verse 42, it said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. First thing we see is devotion to truth. Jesus speaking to the Father in John 17, 12 says, your word is truth. End of discussion. Truth forms our foundation as this community. You know, without a common truth, all we have is our opinion or social norms and whatever's going out in the world. That's not who we are. Church isn't a social club. It's where membership has its privileges. It's a place where the Word of God challenges us and changes us. We must be a people who seek truth, who gather not just to be inspired, but instructed. Where a healthy church community opens the Bible together, discusses it honestly, and seeks to apply it to our lives. Currently, we've got a number of opportunities for some of this to take place. You know, Don was talking about prayer on Wednesdays. We've got women's ministries. We have men's ministries. And I encourage men to come on out. It's a good time. We have Jeff, who's working on Christian education program. We've got young adults. We've got so many things that are happening and more opportunities to become available. So keep tuned. Jeff, we're looking forward to what you got. Christian education, we're looking at a Sunday school as part of that. How many people remember Pastor Vern? A handful of folks. That man, you look at his Sunday school, that was Christian community. You would go in there and there's a ton of people. And they would be having great fellowship together. They would be learning, exchanging ideas, getting into the Word, and then, you know, having the coffee and the donuts and all those other things. That's what we're going to be about. Isn't that what Acts 2:24 or 42 said? Got to be together. You got to have learning from one another. And Pastor Vern was just so incredibly gifted in that area. The man was incredible, absolutely incredible. You know, we've got, and with all the stuff that's going to be happening, and I'm not saying that you have to participate in absolutely everything, otherwise, you know, you're just not making it. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be going on, and understand that we all have lives and families and commitments, but we need to make sure that we can plug in and be a part of as much as we possibly can. I like how Bruce always says, well, you know, you seem to run out of time, but God always makes time. You always have the time to do those things. So we need to change our mindset and say, I'm gonna commit to one thing. Okay, then I'm going to commit to another thing. All of a sudden, you have all this time being made available to you. God will take care of all this other stuff. He wants to hear you. He wants to be with you. He wants to pour into you. The only way you can do that is by getting together with the church community in large. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It's truth. You can fight any battle with truth. Anything that the enemy throws at you, with truth. I love when, you know, Bruce mentioned it last week, how Jesus was taken in, you know, and the devil tempted him. The devil is quoting scripture up to a point. And what did Jesus do? He came back. Scripture, here's truth, here's truth, here's truth. You do the battle and you just, you take care of business. The people that were in the first century church, they were devoted. Webster defines devotion as the act of dedicating something to a cause, enterprise, or activity. Dedicating means you have to give something, right? This is not casual listening or occasional note-taking. This is commitment to being shaped, corrected, and equipped by God's word. And in a healthy community, teaching isn't just about gaining head knowledge. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's for transformation and banging on the microphone. We need to ask ourselves, are we growing in the knowledge of God's word? Are we encouraging one another to be shaped by kingdom truths and not by things of this world? What were we singing this morning? Give me Jesus. I don't need the things of this world as long as I have Jesus, right? Number two, it's a relational community. And verse 42 says, and to fellowship. The word fellowship, koinonia, means deep sharing, not surface level, hey, how you doing today, and on to the next person. It's deep sharing. It's in being involved. It's the kind of connection where lives are intertwined, that interdependence that we talked about earlier. A real church community is where burdens are shared, joys are celebrated, and people are accepted as they are while being encouraged to become who God created them to be. We're going to have a lot of people that come in here that kind of rough around the edges. I was one of those folks years ago. And yeah, I'm a new creation. But we need to welcome them in as they are, but we need to help them understand who God has made them to be. That's our job. Christ, church is not a place you go. It's the people who care for one another. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So, what does fellowship look like? A few things that I want to take a look at. Number one, praying with one another. 1 Samuel says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Now, this applies to all of us, not just leadership, right? Confessing sins to one another. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Rejoicing and grieving together. Romans 12:15-16, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Another one, holding each other accountable. We need to be delicate with this. You know, it's allowing people to get in your business. You know, I have people that I said, you can call me out on things. You can, you know, call me physically on the phone. You can correct me. I am, you know, I am there. And I appreciate those gentlemen and folks that are in that position in my life. They don't hold back, and they know that I will not be grieved when they come up to me and say, you did this, you need to change that, you know, whatever the case may be. We need to allow people to pour into our lives, right? Now, I don't mean this to be kind of a blanket thing. We were at speaking of people getting in our business, we went down and visited Marla's parents yesterday. They're an assisted living facility. And we're having a little party for Marla's sister. You know, just cake and ice cream, and, you know, some of our nieces and there were there. And there was one of the persons, my brother-in-law got up, went to do something. There was an empty chair there. And one of the residents in the assisted living community, she came rolling up on her wheelchair and decided she was going to sit in that chair that was just vacated. Talk about getting in your business. I mean, this is a private party. We're celebrating my sister-in-law's birthday, and this lady decides she's going to join us. That's not the kind of getting in your business I'm talking about. We need to hold each other accountable. Look, my niece, she said, hey, this is a private party. Get out of here. Well, not like that. She wasn't quite like that, but the elderly woman decided, okay, she wheeled out and off she went. We need to hold each other accountable in getting in one another's business. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That's the kind of getting in your business I'm talking about. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to give permission to others to hold us to that account. Serving and encouraging one another. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, it employ it in serving one another. Everyone here has a special gift that they bring to the body. Why? to employ it in serving one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another, build one another up. Those are some of the things that define fellowship, in my mind anyway. Whoa, in my mind. I've heard it said that true fellowship is like a bonfire. If you remove a single coal from the fire, that coal kind of goes cold. But together, the fire is sustained. That's the church. We need to keep each other spiritually on fire. Number three, a worshiping community. A worshiping community has to do with breaking bread and prayer. Breaking bread refers both to shared meals, which we're going to be having Sunday, next Sunday, after this morning service. And it's also about the Lord's Supper. Prayer was central. Worship wasn't reserved for Sundays. It was a way of life. The church community is a people who regularly come together before God to thank Him and to seek Him. Prayer and worship ought not to be, a one and done thing. It needs to be woven into our relationships with one another. Think of worship and prayer like the heartbeat of a body. If it stops for any period of time, the body's going to stop working, right? We cannot have ourselves get into cardiac arrest. We need to be praying and worshiping unceasingly. If not, we need to call Dr. Jesus, right? Number four, a generous community. They had everything in common. They gave to anyone who had need. The early church didn't cling to possessions. They were radically generous. Radically generous. It appeared that they did not just think of only giving a tithe. Generosity wasn't an obligation. It was an overflow of love. They saw a need. They met it when they're together. The world should look at the church and see a people so generous, it doesn't make sense apart from Jesus. I know that most of us told some of our non-believing friends and relatives of how we support the ministry of our church, they would think that we kind of belong to a cult. I was guilty of this at one time. Before I got saved, Marla had been coming to the church here for a while. And then it became, not just Sunday morning that she was going. Then she started going Sunday evening. And then there was Wednesday evenings. And I'm saying, this church, there's something wrong with this church. They're getting their fingers into my wife. And I'm not having any part of this stuff. It's a cult over there. Next thing they're going to be taking her and I'll never see her again. Well, this was my mindset back there, okay? I've got a redeemed mind. I've got rejuvenated. So I've learned things that not quite as they appeared. So that's when she said, hey, because we had some interesting conversations back then about this church and our lives together. And so she said, hey, commit to coming to the church for a month and then we won't even discuss it anymore. Said, I thought that was a win-win for me until I started coming here. And that was almost 40 years ago. And so you gotta be open to what was going on. And when I walked in the door, when Marla came one time before I came in the door, she had a broken elbow. And she went up and got prayed for. And she got a miraculous healing. She came home and she's so excited. And me being the wet blanket and unbeliever, I says, that's just mind over matter, right? It's not healed, but I now know that she did receive that miraculous healing. It was a touch of God. So I'm looking at all these things, and I'm kind of a analytical guy. I said, okay, this is happening, that's happening. I started going to the church, and I said, wow, this is kind of different. I was raised Catholic, and this is not what I'm used to, but it's kind of good. The music was wonderful. Music just ministered to my spirit back then. So a month became 2 months, became a year, became 40 years. And luckily, the community of the church accepted me as who I was. They questioned it sometimes. Pastor Claire used to wonder about me wearing gym shoes in church. I didn't wear socks, okay? Yeah. I've got socks on now, and I've got shoes on now. I don't. God's still working on me in a lot of things, but. But the thing is, it was a church they like Marla, she would meet me where I was, not tell me too much, beat me up because I'm not good enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough. She would minister to me and answer my questions. That was it. Not pound the scripture into me. And that's what I needed. Now, some people may need it handled differently. But that's part of the community that I was being brought into. Kind of went down a rabbit hole here. The early church sold property to meet needs. That's sacrificial giving. As we are sacrificially generous, not with just our money, but we need to be generous with our times, gifts, and attention. It goes back to all the stuff that the ministries that we have and are forming to be plugged into. We need to be involved. We need to be sacrificially giving of our time and our effort into those things. Because God's going to be doing some stuff here, folks. You look at the billboard or the placards out there in the foyer of the new buildings that we want to take and put over here. God wants us to do something here. And he's just waiting for us to get all the things in place, and then all of a sudden it's going to happen. We need to be prepared for when that happens. Because it's not going to be, oh my gosh, what do we do now? It's going to be, oh my gosh, look at what God is doing. First Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Number 5, community has a joyful and hospitality. Verse 46 says, with glad and sincere hearts. They ate together, they laughed together, they were joyful. Hospitality was the norm. Church wasn't a performance. It was a family meal. And here again, be prepared for more opportunities to gather together. Afterglow coming up. I'm going to keep on plugging that because it's really short notice. So Afterglow next Sunday. Church community is supposed to be a place of laughter and celebration. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. This is in the Good News Translation. It says, be joyful. When? Always. Always. We are to be the most joyful people around. People love that. They get drawn to that. I want to be part of that. Not someone that's, oh man, woe is me. Woe is me. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No. I get drawn to, yes, I'm a happy dude. C.S. Lewis taught that seeking happiness directly will lead to disappointment, but seeking God wholeheartedly results in happiness as a byproduct. I don't have a slide for this, but this goes back to Matthew 6. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be given to you. Don't go chasing the things. chase him. Once we do that, get it in order, all these things are going to be given to you. We need to ask ourselves, is this a place where people find joy? Are we quick to welcome, to include, to make space for them? Are we a place where people feel safe, seen, and celebrated? As I said earlier, they may not be where we are, but that's okay. We need to help them get to be where God wants them to be, who they are called to be. Number six, a missional community. Verse 47 says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. The result of the church lives as God intended in unity, love, generosity, and truth. Is the world can't help but take notice when we're in that perfect alignment. The gospel becomes visible because we are the gospel to them. The love of God becomes tangible. Evangelism isn't an individual effort. It's the natural outflow of a healthy, spirit-filled community. John 13:35 says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There's been a lot of prophecies spoken over this church saying that we are to be a lighthouse to the nations. You know, a lighthouse doesn't chase ships. It's stationary. What do they do? It draws the ships into a safe harbor. That's what we're to be about. You know, the early church shone so brightly that people were drawn to the light of Christ. Now, I'm going to turn to a fortune cookie that I have. I keep it in my Bible. I'm going to confirm what I just said with this fortune cookie. It said, catch on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Right? The light is going to draw people in. So what does John say in Luke 3:16? He, Jesus, is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and
fire.
There you go. Fortune cookie confirmation. I've had some weird fortune cookies. I'm getting ready to close here. I told you it was going to be a brief word. In a world marked by isolation, division, I mean, just listen to the radio or watch the TV. It's ugly. It is ugly. There's inauthenticity. The church is called to be different. A family of believers where grace reigns, truth is spoken in love. You don't want to beat someone up. We want to do things in love. Needs are met, and Christ is at the center of it all. While it can exist in various forms, it most is fully realized when believers live in unity, share a common purpose, practice mutual care and accountability. It is a divine gift and foretaste of the complete fellowship that will be fully realized at Christ's return. Now, we are a church, to be a church the world so desperately needs. You know, the early church wasn't perfect, and surprise, surprise, neither are we. We're an imperfect people. But Jesus. But Jesus. I get my perfect. Ooh. Yeah. Jesus in me. It's perfection. Perfection. He perfects me. I've said this many times. I'm not who I used to be, but I'm not who I'm going to be, because I'm a work in progress, and he's not done with me yet. And I'll venture to say he's not done with
us.
Yeah. But thank God, Jesus doesn't give up on us. Thank God, he cares about us. He wants you to be all that you can be in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the church was powerful because, number one, it was committed to one another. Are we committed to each other in this body? We ought to be. You're not committing yourself to the encounter. You're committing it to your community. Number two, it was Spirit-led. I'm so appreciative of the teaching that we receive, the worship that we have. You know, there's times when we don't bring the word because God is moving so powerfully in worship. Spirit-led. We're not being dictated by some clock on the wall. God says, move this way. Let's go, folks. We're moving this way. Well, turn around. We want to go and do this. God's never wrong. As long as we have our spiritual ears on, we can do no wrong. Number three, the early church was built around Christ. You know, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. How many times have we talked about relationship with one another, relationship with him? If we get this relationship right, this relationship gets taken care of by itself. Relationship, relationship, relationship. Romans 12, 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. Be who the church is called to be. Pretty simple. Stand with me if you would, please. My hope is that we don't settle for church as just being an event. The once a week Sunday, 2 hours event. That's not what we're called to be. We're called to be the church. And Bruce, you know, he wants it 24/7. There's a dead and dying world out there that we need to be the gospel to them. That may be the only time that they ever hear the word is through us. They may never want to set foot in a church like I was before I started coming here about 40 years ago. Don't give me that stuff. But it's not until you have that one-on-one relationship with someone and say, I'm going to give it a chance. And here I am. Thank you. So appreciate that. She didn't give up on me, but more importantly, he didn't give up on me. So let's not have church be an event that just happens for 2 hours a day on a Sunday. Let's be the church, a true community that shows each other and the world what the love of Jesus Christ really looks like. It's incumbent upon us. We have to do something. We just need to let it shine. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this body of believers that I call my church community, Lord. Father, I just come before you and say yes and amen to your word about us being a body of believers and our duties, responsibilities to each other and to you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We just cannot thank you enough. We cannot praise you enough. We cannot worship you enough because you are so worthy and you've done so much and we are expecting so much more and you will not fail to deliver. So, Lord, I just bless your people this morning. Bless them, Lord. Bless them abundantly. Father, whatever the needs are, bless them with those needs. Touch them wherever it needs to be touched. Mentally, physically, emotionally, monetarily, Lord. A touch from you is all that's needed. Because with you and through you, all things are possible. So, Father, I just thank you, and I pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Be blessed, folks.